Psalm 86, I'm in the habit of reading five psalms a day, in addition to a proverb, three Old Testament texts, and three New Testament texts. So that's my Bible reading plan, and this is a chapter or a division I came across in my Bible reading this week, and the Lord directed me to preach this message for you and to me from Psalm 86. So we're going to read the whole psalm. And then preach the whole psalm. And amen. I can't continue it because it's youth day next week. So I need to have something else. So I'm kind of in a box. All right. And then after youth day is Easter. So we got to get through it. So you got to listen quickly. All right. I need about 35 minutes to preach this psalm. Unless the wind blows through. And I'd love to tell you when I'll finish if the wind blows through, but I can't tell you when it'll stop blowing. But I guarantee if you get in the wind, you'll have just as good a time as I will. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I'm poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I'm holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn thou unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, be ashamed, because thou, Lord, has hopened me and comforted me. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, I pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. And Father, in no way do I want to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for being God. And thank you for grace. Now make a difference, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This is a psalm undoubtedly written and sung by David. It's a prayer. The entire psalm is directed to God. By the way, it does us some good sometimes just to talk directly to God. There's no way in this psalm to pinpoint at what juncture in David's life this psalm was written. David went through so much. When he entered the scene by way of scripture, he was a shepherd boy just doing his job. A few verses later, he was anointed to be the next king. The next chapter, he was a giant killer. He became the son-in-law of the current king. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. He was a musician with the Spirit of God on him, so that when he played, an evil spirit left King Saul. He was destined for the throne, but his ascent to the throne was a tumultuous one. Saul didn't like the fact he was being replaced, And it really didn't matter who the replacement was, whoever it was, Saul was against. So David found himself targeted. He had a bounty on his head. And his predecessor wanted to kill him before he ever got to the throne, not really realizing that when God has destined for you to go somewhere, nobody can stop you. And so David, with humble beginnings as a shepherd boy, with an unexpected anointing as the next king, with a great victory as a giant killer, with wars won where the maidens rejoiced his victory, as the best friend of Saul's son Jonathan and as Saul's own son-in-law, he was a man with somebody that was trying to kill. And then finally got to the throne. And even after he was there, he was often and continuously gathered by enemies. He was always fighting off the enemies of God. Later, in one of the highlights of his realm, as he was doing what he was supposed to do, he had another failure. He stayed home from war. And his biggest sin he ever committed was written on the pages of scripture one will never forget. Adultery with Bathsheba. But in Psalm 51, he got that thing right, didn't he? Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Cast not thy spirit away from me. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. O Lord, thou desirest not in sacrifice, else would I give it. A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. For 9 months he wallowed in sin, in misery. And by the way, you wallow in sin, you'll be miserable too, until he finally realized that God is a God of forgiveness. Psalm 31, there is forgiveness with thee. He got his joy back. He got his smile back. He got his life back. He got his testimony back. And he pressed on for God. Amen. We could enter David's life at any stage and find out it was always something going on. So in Psalm 86, David, let's take the totality of his life and see that David found himself, if you would, trying his best to live for God. Living in the destiny that God had prepared for him. Walking in the calling that God had reserved for him. But finding himself quite often all over the place. I wonder if there's anybody in here like that. Anybody in here trying to live for God? Okay, I need more than 8 of you. Anybody in here trying to live for God? Anybody here trying to walk in the calling God has for you? Anybody here trying to stay in the destiny God has reserved for you? I mean, you got up this morning and you came to church. You didn't stay in bed. You didn't go somewhere else. You're not in the shopping mall. You're in church. I'd say that's a good decision. I mean, you got your Bible in front of you, not just some autobiography, not just some concordance, not just some encyclopedia. You have in your hands the very word of God, inspired, inerrant, infallible. God took 40 men over 1600 period time and produced this manuscript from cover to cover. It's still the bestseller that man has ever read. You won't find anything like the Bible. You're not sitting in here with an Ebony or Jet magazine in your lap. You have in your hands the very word of God. You're trying to live for God. Amen. Yet while you're trying to do right, you find yourself under attack. You have good days and you have bad days. You have happy emotions and you have sad emotions. You have times when you feel like you're healthy and times when you don't know how long you're going to be here. You have times when your friends are gathered. You have times when it feels like you're all by yourself. You have times when you feel like God is right there cheering you on. You have other times when you feel like you can't get through to him on the other line. You have times when you feel like you could conquer the devil and you could whip everybody in front of you. And you have other times where you feel like the smallest enemy defeats you without any effort. I don't know about you. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we can join David in Psalm 86. We're all over the place. Some of you came to church this morning. You're in the right location, but your mind's all over the place. And you're not doing it on purpose. You're a human being. You're created with emotions, which means God gave them to you. But yet you got family issues. You got financial issues. You got physical issues. You got relational issues. You got emotional issues. And you got issues that you don't even know how to categorize. They're just issues. When you come to church, it's like you step into a bubble. to get away from all that nonsense. Amen. That's why shame on these churches that are just more of what we already get in the world. When I come to church, I need something different. When I come to church, I need to get in the presence of God. I don't need no little 1, 2, 3 punch just to say I checked off the box. I need an experience with God. I need a moving of the Holy Ghost to God. I need a word I can't hear on Oprah. I need some advice I can't get from Dr. Phil. I need a pickup that I can get from somewhere besides a fortune cookie. I need to know that God's still alive, that the tomb is still empty, that he's still moving in my life, that this world's not my home, that heaven's real, that sin has been conquered, that the devil is a loser, that victory is mine. I need to know it. Let's be honest. Sometimes we're all over the place. In the middle of this psalm, my. Somebody move that second hand. In the middle of this psalm, David makes a statement that jumped out at me. And I think it's a prayer that few Christians ever pray. But it's a prayer that every Christian should pray, because it's a struggle that every child of God faces. It's in verse 11. And the last statement in verse 11 that David makes, are you there with me? Read it with me. The last part of verse number 11. Let's read it again. Unite my heart. Now I've got to define some things, because if I don't define them, you don't know what it means. When he says the heart is the emotional center of man. The heart is where your mind is, where your intellect is, where your emotions are, where your will is. See, your heart is who you are. A lot of people dress nice here, but your dress is not who you are. I mean, a lot of people have good jobs, but your job is not who you are. Come on. There are a lot of people that have decent reputations, but your reputation is not who you are. Who you are is who your heart is. That's why he said, as in water, face answer to face, so the heart of man to man. That's what God said in his word. In other words, when you look into the water, you see a vivid reflection of a person, because the water is simply reflecting the image in front of it. He said, as your face is reflected in the water, so your heart is a reflection of you. You are what your heart is. Now, I'm trying to get to the message. Now, hear me now. David said, I know what it is to be a little shepherd boy in the back when nobody knew me. I know what it is to be anointed king as a young boy and didn't know how I was going to do it. I know what it is to walk up on a scene and a 9.5-foot tall giant is mocking God, and to beat him with a slingshot and a stone. I know what it is to be the king's son-in-law. I know what it is to play an instrument and the evil spirit is gone. I also know what it is to play that same instrument and he throws a javelin at me. I know what it is to be the king, but the king on the throne doesn't want me to be king. I know what it is to be betrayed by my own son. I know what it is to be attacked by my enemies. I know what it is to mess up and to be in despair. I know what it is to be embarrassed by the failures I've made. I know what it is to walk into a little boy that's my baby son and find out that not long after he's born, he died. So it means my emotions are all over the place. Listen to me now. The average Christian is not failing God because he's in utter sin. He's just got a divided heart. Most Christians in the building today are trying to serve God. But part of your heart's at work, and part of your heart's in the bank account, and part of your heart's at the doctor's visit, and part of your heart is where you're headed tomorrow, and part of your heart is on your favorite television show, and part of your heart is hung up in your social media, and part of your heart is caught up in some grudge you won't let go of, and part of your heart is blaming somebody else for all of your misery, and you come into church. It's not that you don't give God everything you have, it's that you didn't have much to give him, because you cut your heart up into pieces and handed it out to everybody else. And if ever God could get all of you in the same place, directed to his throne, maybe he could get something out of your life. So David said, with my heart all over the place, my mind in every different direction, with my emotions just cut up and dispersed all over, he said, God, if I'm going to live for you, take my heart, my mind, my emotions, my will, everything, unite it to fear thy name. If ever, God, you could get all of me in fear of all of you, well, we could go somewhere. Now, I won't preach on that this morning, because I know I'm in your business. Have you ever prayed for God to unite your heart to fear his name. Well, what about the rest of the psalm? It springboards from that. See, sometimes it's not that we don't pray, it's that we don't pray for the right stuff. Say this with me, unite my heart to fear thy name. Unite my heart to fear thy name. God, get me together. I can't serve God all over the place. I can't come to church with my head in the building and my heart somewhere else. I can't pray with my mind hung up on something else. I can't serve God doubting. I can't walk with God impressed with more people than I am with Almighty God. He said to fear thy name, to reverence thy name. In other words, God, get all of me in awe of you. Get all of me in awe of you. God, when I get up in the morning, get my mind saying, what a God I serve. Get my emotions feeling, what a God I serve. Get my will, my volition, my power of choice to move forward for the God I serve. God, I'm not something special. I'm not something great. I'll never be famous. But if you could take all of me and unite my heart to fear thy name, I could go somewhere for you. Now let me give you 5 points. Listen quickly. Because his heart needed to be united to fear God's name, number one, he began with a desperate plea. Here it is. Bow down thine ear unto me and hear me. God, if my heart's going to get together, I need an attentive connection. In other words, God, when I call you, I need to get through. Somebody say amen. Ain't no use in praying if he ain't picking up. Ain't no use in talking if he ain't listening. I'm glad that God hears my prayer. He said, I need an attentive connection. He said, God, I have an adverse condition. I'm poor and needy. Anybody in here say that your heart is destitute and you need it? If you're in need of something this morning, raise your hand. He said, I'm poor and needy. My attentive connection met with my adverse condition. I'm asking for your able conservation. Preserve me and save me. Hey, let me tell you something. Your cardio can't keep you. Your job can't keep you. Your pedigree can't keep you. If you're going to be preserved today, God's got to keep you. Notice, if you would, he said, I've got some acknowledged consecration. Here's why I want you to keep me, God. Number one, for I'm holy. Number two, for I trust in thee. God, I got a pure life and I got a proper lean. Now, God, I'm not asking you to save me when I'm living wickedly. I'm not asking you to conserve me when I'm acting a fool. He said, God, take care of me because I've decided to get up every day and to live purely. I've got a pure life and I got a proper lean. I'm not looking to family and friends and the preacher and the church. I'm looking to God to take care of me. I need some applied compassion. I need your mercy. Amen. Why? Because I have an abundant cry. I cry daily to thee. Amen. God wants you to keep coming. God, I need some activated cheer. Rejoice the soul of my servant. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. He said, God, cheer me up. Amen. We look for the wrong place. We look for the wrong people. Well, if you want some cheer, get some cheer from the Lord. Amen. Don't look in the bank account. Don't look in your mailbox. God said, David said, I don't need a deposit in my bank account. I need a deposit in my soul. Cheer my heart, God. And then he said, I've got an aimed call for I lift up unto thee, my soul. Could I ask you, who do you look to when you need help? Money not going to make you happy. Come on now. A new home not going to make your marriage happy. Getting that child into that school ain't going to make your house happy. You want to be happy in Jesus, God's got to cheer you up. Number two, he said, I've got directed praise. For thou, O Lord, art good. Somebody say amen. He said, I've got a convicted expression about God. What do you mean? God is good. I'm telling you, God is good. Listen to me now. If we do good, God's got to do it through us. But God doesn't need anybody to help him be good. He alone is good. Somebody say amen. He said, the supreme favor of God, the steady forgiveness of God, thou art ready to forgive. Some Christians' hearts are divided because they're too hung up on the guilt of their past sin. I've got good news for you this morning. No matter how many times you've fallen and no matter how many times you fail, the God that sent Jesus to Calvary, the Jesus that hung and bled and suffered for your sins, when you got up this morning and showed up at church, he came ready to forgive. The steady forgiveness of God, the supreme favor of God, the splendid forbearance of God, you plenteous in mercy. Thank God he is. You know what mercy is? Forbearing. What do you mean? Holding back from us that which we do deserve. That's why Jeremiah said, it's of thy mercies that we're not consumed. Amen. I know I'm still here. I put away my savings and I walk on my treadmill and I put stuff away for a rainy day. You're boosting yourself up way bigger than what you are. You're here today because of God's mercies. It is of his mercies that we're not consumed. The best of us would be annihilated by sin, destroyed by the world, and plundered by the devil if it were not for the plenteous mercies of God. Somebody say amen. David said, that's why I'm here. His directed praise was in a convicted expression of God, in a committed expectation to God. He said, God, I've got constant prayers. I'm going to keep talking to you. Amen. Why? Because you're a good God. Amen. I'm keep talking to you. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and supplications. But then he said, not only the Lord, well, I have constant prayers. He said, God, I've got confident persuasion. Here it is. He said, in the day of trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. I tell you what's wrong with the average Christian. We don't have faith. Come on. We don't have faith. We're praying, but we're doubting. We're asking, but we're not sure. David said, I'm praying because I know you'll answer. Call unto me, Jeremiah said, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Somebody's heart is divided today because you got more confidence in your boss than you have in God. Could I tell you, can't nobody do you like Jesus. When you get down on your knees and call God, know that God will answer. He said, there's a confessed exclusiveness about God. Among the gods, there is none like thee. Could I ask you, is Buddha like God? Is Muhammad like God? Is Mary like God? Is the Pope like God? Is the sun like God? Is the moon like God? Is church like God? Is money like God? Are any of the false deities like God? I want to tell you why I need God to unite my heart. Because there's nobody like God. You stack him up against the other gods. There's nobody that compares to God. He's the creator of the universe. He's the giver and the sustainer of life. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He has all power. He knows everything. He's there with the same time. He never changes. He always has, and he always will be. Maybe your heart is divided today because you've forgotten who you serve. He's not the big daddy upstairs. He's not the butler you ring the bell for when you're thirsty. He's not a prefix to your cuss word. He's not a shout out after you win an award. He is God. Amen. David said, get me together. I'm too scattered. Confessed exclusiveness of God, his singular worthiness. There's nobody like you. His superior works. They're not only not like you, they don't do stuff like you. Who parted the Red Sea? Who made the sun stand still? Who put the moon in space and the stars in space and they never fall down? Come on now. Who set the sun hanging on nothing and never drops down? Who spins the world into orbit and it keeps on moving? Who took from the dust of the ground, breathing the man's nostrils the breath of life? And man, listen to me, you don't need some check in the mail. Just check your mail by the fact that it says that God was God at the beginning and thousands of years later, he's still God. There's a candid exclamation of God. All the nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship thee, shall glorify thy name. There's coming a day where every pagan will bow. Somebody say amen. He said, God, get my heart together. Because there's coming a day you're going to make everybody be together. There's coming a day at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ. Come on now. I don't want to have to be moved to worship him. I want to move and worship him today. Amen. I want to bow, but there's coming a day where every false religion, every pagan, every heretic will come to the end of their rope. They won't bow to another God. They won't worship another idol. They won't fall prostrate before another grove. There's coming a day when everybody will bow. There's a clear explanation. Why? Because thou art God and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. You have incredible greatness and you have an isolated Godhead. There's nobody like you. Thirdly, I have a diligent pursuit, God. Teach me thy way. Unite my heart. Wait a minute. I have a genuine desire. I want to know your way. Now, wait a minute. Come on. There are some of you that parade how many certifications you have. There's nothing wrong with that. Come on. I mean, if you're a Christian and you have a job, you ought to do your best at it. But I'm convinced that our churches are full of too many intellectuals who have book knowledge. Amen. And are not enough individuals who have God knowledge. Now, let me tell you something. You can go to school and learn how to troubleshoot computers. You can go to school and learn how to speak another language. You can go to school and learn how to be dramatic. You can go to school and learn how to speak. You can go to school and learn how to diagnose sickness. You can go to school and learn how to practice law. But my friend, school will never teach you the will of God. You can only get that from God himself. I want to know if anybody wants it. He said, I have a genuine desire. Teach me thy will. And then he, God, I have a guaranteed decision that if you teach it to me, I'll walk in truth. Some Christians aren't learning anything because God knows they won't do anything with it. Unite my heart when I come to church. Show me something that I can only get from you. Why? Because when I learn it, I'll do it. I get people all the time want to ask me questions about Revelation chapter 16. And they won't follow the Lord and believers' baptism. Don't ask me if the moon's going to turn red and the sun's going to turn black and what them scorpions are. Is it literal? Is it figurative? Don't ask me about the 144,000 and don't ask me about specifics of how many people going to die and which church was he talking to and was John really burned in oil? Listen to me. I'm not saying that those aren't issues that you ought not want to learn, but some of you ought to study the Bible like God's told you and read every single day and tithe 52 weeks out of the year. Maybe God's saying, if you do what I taught you, I'll teach you some more. Teach me thy will. Genuine desire, a guaranteed decision. I'll walk in truth. Here's my glad devotion. My glad devotion is I'll praise thee. Come on now. With my whole heart. If you get my heart, other than I'll praise you with all I have. Have you ever praised God with your whole heart? I'm not asking you if you lift your hand. I'm not asking if you said amen. I'm not asking if you stomped your feet. I'm not asking if you move with the beat. I'm asking you if on the inside where the cardiologist can't see, but God can see, if God got all out of you. Maybe he can't get all out of you because all of you is too many different places. Young ladies, be careful where you hand your heart. Amen. Because somebody might take it and run off. And the U.S. Marshal and the Secret Service and Robert Mueller won't be able to find them. You give God your heart, I guarantee he'll keep it in a safe place. Amen. And fellas, be careful whose heart you're stealing. Amen. Because your hands may be too dirty to be holding it. Help me preach. Glad devotion, my grateful declaration. Not only will I praise thee, but great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Every once in a while, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. I mean, thank God when you get a new job. Thank God when somebody hands you money. Thank God when you get a clean bill of health from the doctor. Thank God when you get out of an accident that should have killed you. Thank God when he brings you through surgery that nobody thought you'd make it through. But every once in a while, you ought to just pause and say, God, when I was headed to a devil's hell, when I was lost and undone, when my sins couldn't be forgiven, the only one who could reach down in the muck and mire of sin, pick me up, turn me around, set my feet on solid ground, when I should have gone to hell, not my mama, not my daddy, not the church, not the preacher, God snatched me up from hell. Yeah, and there goes another button. Amen. You ain't preaching hard enough, you don't break no buttons. Amen, my grateful declaration. Notice fourthly, my distressed predicament. His desperate plea, God, hear me. His directed praise, God, I know who you are. His diligent pursuit, God, I need you to show me more. His distressed predicament. God, let me tell you what I'm dealing with. The proud are risen against me. I got rising adversaries. Here's what he means. People that are my enemies are gaining more power. Come on now. The world that is contrary to God seems to be getting more power. He said, I got rising adversaries. I've got a raging assembly. I got people gathered around me. Let me tell you what kind of people they are. Violent people. You serve God long enough, there'll be people trying to show enough hurt you. Amen. For doing nothing but what's right. Some of you are going through it right now. Your biggest enemies are haters, not because you've hurt them, but because you love God. He said, I got rising adversaries. I got raging assemblies. They've got rebellious antagonism. God, they have not set thee before them. And by the way, people act crazy when they don't know God. He said, but I got righteous assurance. You're full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous, and mercy and truth. They may be gathered around me, but they can't hurt me because God's got me. Amen. And I've got a rightful appeal. Oh, turn now me. Have mercy on me. Give strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. He said, God, I need immediate relief. God, I need your mercy and I need it now. But I need immediate relief because I've got an intimate relationship with you. I'm not a stranger. I'm not a foreigner to you, God. I'm the son of your handmaid. God, I'm not somebody on the side of the road asking you to give me a few dollars. I'm your child. Thank God that when I show up, I'm not a nobody, I'm a somebody to him. Point number five, and I'm done. The distinct petition. Show me a token for good. You remember when I sent you this verse? You remember that, don't you? That's when Brother Ken was knocking on death's door. And I sent Sister Veronica this verse, Psalm 86. So let's ask God to show for good. In other words, God, I'm so messed up, but just give me a little sign. A little sign for good. Just a glimmer of hope. Listen, when the cave is pitch black, you don't need a strobe light. Just a little match. Somebody help me preach. I mean, when you keep losing, you don't need a slaughter. You just need a point. Amen. I mean, before Ruth ever got Boaz, God just gave her a handful of purpose. No, he was taking her somewhere, but if her faith had died, she'd have never. I wish somebody helped me preach. Sometimes we're waiting for the big truckload, and God said, maybe you just need some chicken on a toothpick.
Come on now.
God, listen to me. God doesn't bring you to church to create spiritual giants. Amen. He brings us to church to ignite our faith where we are. Amen. Some of you won't do anything for God because you can't be the giant that you want to be. God's not trying to get you leaving church today being a giant. He's trying to get you leaving church today saying, give us this day our daily bread. I don't need to know what I'll have in 10 years. Give me what I need today and I'll meet you there tomorrow. Show me a token for good. He said, God, I just got a request, a sincere request. Just give me a sign. My sincere request is also met with a specific revelation. Give me something good, but let the haters see it. All I'm talking about, you serving God, you ain't going nowhere with God, you living that Christian life, little bored self. You raising your children right, little weird kids. Going to church 3 times a week, don't have no life. Don't act like you never heard it before. Bless God, if you're not hearing it, you're probably saying it to somebody. So say amen. You're one or the other. You're either getting hated on or you hating on somebody. Yeah, let's just break it down to 2 groups. You're the hater or the hated. Amen. You're either mocking somebody's faith or you're getting mocked for your faith. Amen. David said, God, give me something good, but not just for me. Let somebody know that I'm not the loser. I'm the winner. That they're not the winner. They're the loser. God, show up in my physical battle. Show up in my financial mess. I'm not asking you to get me out of debt today. I'm just asking you to pay the bill that I have right now so that I know that, God, you're good enough. I don't need a clean bill ahead of cancer. I just need to walk in the doctor and get a little glimmer of hope to know God's still on the throne. I'm winding down, but I'm telling you, we're going to land with a bang. Buckle your seatbelts. There's too much wind blowing to land smoothly. We're going to boom, 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 boom like this. But I guarantee you, that plane going to stop. You're going to get off that plane. You're going to find your baggage, and you're going to get home just fine. But we're coming in fast. I got a sincere request. I need a token for good. I got a specific realization. I want them to see it. There's a subsequent result. When they see it, they're going to be ashamed. God, I could get revenge to try to make them feel bad, but I got a better idea. You give me a token for good. Let them see it, and you make them feel bad. And here's the sure reasoning. Because thou hast hope in me and comfort me. You've provided help, and you've given precious hope. And there's nobody that can do that like God. And I'm finished. But let's quit praying these general prayers that sound good to the brethren, but accomplish nothing at the throne. Okay? Quit trying to impress the fellow ushers, to sound good to your prayer partner, or to make people in the building think you're closer to God than what your wayward self really is. Let's just keep it real, tell the truth, and shame the devil. We're often all over the place. And the only one that can get us together is the one that got us here in the first place. Let's ask him to unite our hearts to fear his name. Our Father, we love you. And we thank you. We are far too often all over the place. And it's not because we're in such gross sin. Now, some people may be. But most Christians aren't in vile sin. They're just divided. They're scatterbrained, double-minded, wishy-washy, in and out, all over the place. Help us, Lord, to unite. Help us, Lord, to let you unite our hearts to fear your name. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If that's you, you have Bible reasons, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, would you raise your hand all over the building? I'm saved and I know it. God bless you. Pastor, I'm saved, but I tell you, I find myself all over the place. I just got a lot going on. Listen to me. If you're a Christian and you don't have a lot going on, you might be lazy. I mean, all of us have a lot going on. That's not the bad thing. But we can't let the lot going on divide us. Pastor, I'm all over the place. I need my heart united by God. All over the building, would you raise your hand? All over the building. Now I want you to find your place on an altar. Either come to this altar, like many have, or get on your knees in your seat or pray where you are. Listen, if you don't get desperate for God to get you together, you're going to stay divided. One more question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. All over the building, would you raise your hand? I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Thank you. I see that hand. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I am sure I do not want to go to hell. Anyone else would join this one? Raise their hand. Just slip it up long enough for me to see it. I'll not embarrass you or call your name out. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Here's another hand. God bless you. Someone else. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I know I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Pray for me. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Father, move in this invitation like only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.